If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening, and welcome to Daily Roll Call. I'm your host, Kathy Hinners, right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. It was a wonderful day, as usual. Still can't believe a lot of stores were open. Call in later and let me know what you think about that. But here you are with us on Friday. You know what that means. It is time to talk about Muslim issues, Muslim Brotherhood in particular, or Islamist issues. That is what we do on Fridays. Last week was a killer of a show. We had callers from California, Alaska, Georgia, New York, pretty much everywhere. So we'd like to see if we can do that again and see if we can get some conversations going. There were some very interesting conversations. We had a caller who wasn't sure what this was all about. So those callers are important to us. But so let's do this again. The number to call in is 718-305-7176. And again, this is where you get all your news on Muslim Brotherhood issues that are happening in the country. Once in a while, we do go off of that topic, talk about whatever you want to talk about. But it's been a good week, and there's been some interesting things, again, happening in the Islamist world, which we're going to get into later on this evening. We do have a guest for our first half hour coming up in a few minutes. And then if we get around to it, which we did not get around to last week, we came up with a new idea for the second segment, which is kind of like a roll call briefing, what we used to call roll call briefings. And it's just tidbits of information that you need to know. And I used to think specifically this information was for law enforcement, because that's what I do. I'm not just retired law enforcement, but I teach law enforcement across the country. So, you know, those are some things that I think that everyone needs to talk, you know, to learn about. So that's what we're probably going to get into our second hour, if we have time, if we don't get a lot of calls, which I think we're going to get a lot of calls again. I think that guy in Alaska is listening, and I think he's like, yeah, I'm calling in again tonight. But our first guest tonight is Mike Connor. Mike Connor is the father of a student from a Sumner County, Tennessee high school, where we've learned teachers have been taking a trip, well, actually taking your children on a field trip to the Islamic Center of Nashville, not just in the past year, but in the past 10 years. And this isn't something that is just happening in Sumner County, Tennessee. It also is happening in the Metro Nashville schools. We know that the Martin Luther King Manic School for the past 10 years has been doing the same trip as well. Mike, welcome.
Hey, Kathy. How are you?
I'm good. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. What about yourself?
Very good. You know what? I don't know why we do this to ourselves. So it's like you can't move for 2 days. It's ridiculous. But
no,
I thank you for joining us.
I changed my game plan this year. I only had one plate this year. So
good man.
I took a whole different approach this year.
Very good. Very good. I'm proud of you. I think I wish I could learn the same thing. It's ridiculous because then the second day is even worse. So I don't know. We're very happy to have you here. You know, I've been kind of leading up to this for a month. We've been talking back and forth, you know, about this issue. And I guess the thing that I really want to get into and have you explain is what happened and why your daughter, I told everyone how they are going on a field trip to this mosque. What happened and why did your daughter choose not to attend this field trip? And as a result of that, what was the repercussion?
Well, kind of to lay a basis a little bit of she's my stepdaughter, and Jessica was a freshman this year at Hendersonville High School. Leaving her eighth grade year, going into her freshman year at high school, you know, like every parent and child does, they're discussing about the classes they're going to take. And Jessica's been a straight-A student, you know, National Honor Society, you know, Presidential Award, you know, the whole nine yards as far as grades, excellent student. So she heard a lot about this World Studies class. And in order to take honors and advanced classes, you had to take this class. So, you know, my wife and I and Jessica, they did some research on the class. They actually had to attend a meeting in the summer before school even started to discuss about, you know, what this class entailed. And during this meeting, at no time did they mention, you know, where this field trip was going to be going, even much less even taking a field trip that I'm aware of. Jessica had to do, you know, she had three books to read throughout the summer. She had essays to write. I mean, she had a lot of work to do for this class, and it wasn't even guaranteed that she was going to be in the class. I mean, there was 100 kids vying to get into this class, and they're only going to take about 30, but she made it. And we were very proud of her. She got in the class, and you know, since my wife and I have been married for 7 years, and we've talked about with our children about Islam and told them the truth about any time we never see things come on the news, and we discussed it, you know, and made them aware of what's going on in their, not only in their country, but in their town. And mm-hmm. So she was very versed on the bad side of Islam. And not only that, in our church, she was confirmed in our church 2 years ago. So Father Pete, our priest, you know, Jessica had to go through a world religions, you know, studying the five religions to be confirmed. So she was very aware, not only from us, but from our priest, about Islam and all the other religions. Mm-hmm. So once this, you know, they had a parent-teacher conference on August the 29th. We were in there where they were discussing what was going to happen, and the field trip came up, and I asked the question, you know, is the field trip mandatory? And the teacher, she was, you know, quite shocked at one that even asked that question, and nobody, you could feel the tension in the class. I mean, you knew somebody was going to bring up this topic, so mm-hmm. Nobody's done it. So I decided myself, I'll ask the question. So I did, and she said, well. And no, it's not mandatory, but I can't imagine you wouldn't want your child to experience different cultures. Mm. And I said, well, yeah, different cultures is fine, but religions that are not tolerant of other people and other religions, no, I don't want her to have any fun. And so once I asked the question, other parents started raising questions. And the way this parent-teacher meeting worked is you spent 15 minutes in each of your child's classroom. So the bell rang, and we had to move. But other parents stayed and was apparently drilling the teacher about their concerns. So Jessica, you know, she decided that she didn't want to go on a field trip, and she wasn't the only one. There was two girls, her and another little girl decided that they didn't want to go. So they were given an alternative assignment in lieu of going on the field trip. The alternative assignment was that she had to compare and contrast Jesus, Gandhi, and Muhammad. And so she had a page on Jesus, she had two-thirds of a page on Gandhi, and she had five pages on Muhammad.
Oh,
so, you know, that to me tells, one, your child chose not to go because of the fact that we were going to a mosque, so I'm going to throw a lot more information on Muhammad and try bias information on top of that. Once we got mm-hmm. the information, Jessica from class sent me a text with pictures of all this, of, you know, what the information was, what the text was, and she said, Mike, I don't want to turn this assignment in. And I said, well, if you don't turn it in, you're going to get a zero. And she said, well, I don't want a zero. And I said, well, you can either do the assignment the way she asked you to do and get your grade, or you just stand there for what you believe in. If you get a zero, then you just get a zero. So she mm-hmm. didn't turn in. I mean, she filled out She wrote on, and I'm going to try to quote what she said. It's been a while, so I'll try to quote it. She said, due to the abundance of information on Muhammad and the lack of equal and fair information on Jesus and Gandhi, or I cannot equally compare and contrast these three leaders.
Good
so
for
she
her.
Started, yeah, and she got a zero. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, when she got the zero, obviously she was upset, and my wife and I scheduled a meeting. We tried to schedule a meeting just with the teacher, and the teacher requested that the principal be involved, so and that was fine with us. So we finally got a meeting with the principal, Johnny Worsham, and there was actually two teachers that teaches this World Studies class. Miss Elmore is basically the World Studies portion of it, and Miss Watts is the English portion of it. So, you know, my wife and I walk in, and we sit down, and they say, well, how can we help you? And we said, well, we want this zero drop, and we want Jessica to get another assignment. Well, the principal just right out of the gate said, well, we're not dropping to zero, and you're not getting another assignment.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
And the meeting immediately went downhill. They started questioning why we were even in there, you know, questioning. The teacher actually said, I can't believe that you would question my motives in teaching your daughter. Well, you know, look at where you're taking them. You know,
it's okay to question a teacher. I mean, that's kind of a, you know, something maybe they're not used to, but maybe they should get used to that because you have every right, and I would suggest you do that. I mean, that's just absurd. You know, I mean, that's just they deserve to be questioned. I think a lot more than they are is my opinion.
Well, yeah, this teacher actually said that this was the first year that, you know, anybody had ever questioned or had any concerns about where they were going, and we found out that wasn't true. There was, you know, this last year there was parents questioning where they were going, and so we were the loudest voice this year. We weren't really the only voice. There was a couple other parents that had concerns. Now, they didn't quite speak as loud as I did, or, you know, my wife and I did, but there were other parents with concerns, and then we weren't the only ones. And once I began to show Miss Elmore the inconsistencies and the inaccuracies of her lesson and the assignment that she gave, she really got defensive and started raising her voice at me. And you know, I said, is there any reason why you're raising your voice at me? And the principal said, well, that's just how she is. And I said, well, she might need to work on that because she probably intimidates some of your kids if that's all you're talking to.
Anger management.
So,
Mike, hold on for 1 second. I just have to take a real brief commercial break. Can you hold on for 1 second?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be right back. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers. So what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And we are with Mike Connor, and Mike is telling us about the issue that happened at the school with Ms. Elmore. And, Mike, I just wanted to ask you, did the other parents ever address with the teacher or the principal what you've done? Have they been, now that you've laid the path for them, have they been outspoken?
There was one other parent. I think he did, and him and his wife did, but I haven't spoken with him recently to see how far that, you know. My wife and I went so far as to email Dr. Dale Phillips, who's the superintendent of schools, and it wasn't until he stepped in. You know, when we left the meeting, with the principal saying, well, we're going to take a look at getting your daughter another assignment, and we'll make a decision and we'll get back with you. This was the meeting was on a Wednesday. Thursday goes by, we didn't hear from her. Friday goes by, we didn't hear from her. So Monday afternoon, we started emailing Dr. Phillips, and I spoke with Michael DeGiorno, a local radio host here in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And with their help and your help, Dr. Phillips finally responded and told basically tell the principal that you will give this young lady another assignment. He will drop the zero. And he came back, actually found out he was the one that gave the assignment. And her corrected assignment was that she could pick three of the five religions and she could compare and contrast them themselves. Now, if you can give that on the back end, why couldn't a teacher and a principal have the wherewithal to come up with that on the front end? I mean, I spoke with this teacher, and in the meeting, this teacher said, Ms. Elmore said, well, I've got thousands of pages of information on religion. And I said, that's the best you could do? Well, one, your information wasn't factual, and two, it was biased. So that's the best. If you got thousands of pages, that's the best you can do. So, you know, thanks to Dr. Phillips, and I won't have to give Dr. Phillips credit. He did step in and kind of correct the problem. Fortunately, Jessica hasn't had any other problems there since now. They're starting to read a book now, The Lemon Tree.
I took a look at that, and I got to take a quick break, but I want to talk to you about The Lemon Tree. We will be right back. We're talking to Mike Connors from the Nashville area. We will be back after these messages.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time. Without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's pcs4automation.com.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Hi. This is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Welcome back to Daily Roll Call. This is ConservativeNationMedia.com. Our number to call in is 718-305-7176, and we are talking to Mike Connor about some issues with a visit to a Nashville, Tennessee mosque. Mike, so we were just started to talk about a new book that has been introduced into the school, I guess, The Lemon Tree. So what's with that?
Well, they start this book after the first of the year, and my wife has actually done a little more research on this than I have, and she's finding out it's kind of some of the same issues. You know, they're portraying Islam as this peaceful, you know, religion, if that's what you want to call it, and it's just not factual. It's not true. And we're going to take a different approach, I think, this time. Like I said, they don't start reading it until after the first year. And we've sat down with Jessica. We've told her some of the inaccuracies with the books. And although it's received several accolades, you know, that really doesn't mean that the book is factual. Jessica's going to take this approach. She's going to read the book. She's going to do the assignment. But when it comes to the in-class review of the book, she's going to provide the inaccuracies. And she's going to tell how the book isn't factual and the information that's stated in the book isn't factual. It is actually biased. So we're going to take a different approach with this one. We're actually going to allow her to read the book, to do the assignment, but in the assignment in class, she's going to lay out how the research that she's done, and we're going to let her do the research. We're going to help her if she needs our help, and she's more than qualified to, you know, to do research like this. So she's going to do it, and she's going to lay out in class, you know, what she
found. Very good. Jeez, that's good. That's a smart girl. You know, you should be proud of her.
We are very proud of her. We are. She's an excellent student and a young person. And that's what, you know, if we weren't doing this, we wouldn't be doing our job as parents. You know, my wife and I were having a conversation, and actually my family over Thanksgiving yesterday, and although we didn't talk about the Obamacare bullet points that President Obama wanted us to talk about, we did talk about Islam and how when we went to school, has history changed so much since we went to school? I don't think it has. I think they're just trying to rewrite history, and the older generation, I don't think Islam, you can't pull the wool over our eyes. You may be able to some people, but look at people like myself and you and some of the people that are my inner circle. You can't pull the wool over our eyes. So they're going after our children, and they're changing the textbooks, and they're trying to persuade these young minds that Islam is a good thing when it's not. You know, history is on our side when it comes to the story of Islam.
And you're right about that, and I think that's part of the reason why they're so anxious to change it. Because it isn't a religion, and I've been saying that. I'm over saying it's a religion. I'm not even going to argue with it anymore. It's a political way of life. You understand that. And for
Absolutely.
Those people that don't get it, it's really a shame. But I think people are starting to come around in this common core. You know, at some point, probably in January, we're going to have some experts on Common Core on to let people know, you know, about what's happening there. But then I've been doing, you know, speaking lately, a great topic that people are very interested in is the Islamic connection to Common Core.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
like you say, we get it. And it takes parents like yourself to let the school know that you're not going to tolerate this. The problem is when you go to the school board meetings, now, you know, I don't know how many you've been to since this. Are they crowded?
No, they're not. You know, I was disappointed. I went to the first one after all this happened, and I bet there was, including myself, there might have been 10 people there. So it's not crowded, and people aren't speaking out the way they should. And people really need to before it's too late. I mean, I hope more parents talk to their children the way my wife and I do. There was an email sent to me by a lady, Jennifer Brown. She's involved with the school board when this book, you know, The Lemon Tree, they started talking about The Lemon Tree, and I sent her an email, and she said, well, you know, unfortunately, the news media is, you know, is entering our house every day. And if teachers don't discuss it, they would be doing an injustice to the children. That's true, partly. But you got to talk about it factually, and you got to tell them the truth. If you don't give them factual information for them to make their own decisions, then you're doing a bigger injustice to them. And I would believe that not enough parents do what my wife and I do. And when, you know, we watch the news together as a family. When we sit down to dinner, the news is on. And we discuss what they're talking about on the news. And unfortunately, you know, you're not getting the truth from a lot of the news. You have to research it on your own, and that's what my wife and I do. And when we do that, we tell our children, this is what they're telling you, and this is what the truth is. This is what's factual. And I don't think enough people are doing that.
No, and I agree with you. I don't believe that they are at all. And, you know, I believe that the world news, unfortunately, is skewed. I think that the top three, your CBS, ABC, and NBC, have not been reporting on Obamacare at all. They barely talk about it at all. So things are so skewed. And when I read your email about the Lemon Tree, and I started doing some research, and I gave you some tidbits of that, Right. You know, and sometimes people say, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. But it's all about following the connections when, you know, research takes you. And I think we found that the award that the book was given to by the, what was it, the National Book Critics or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, they're funded by the government. You know, they're given an endowment by the endowment for, what was it, the National Endowment for Arts, which is funded by Congress. You know, they get millions of dollars a year. So, of course, they're going to, you know, be skewed in their bias and everything else. So it just, I think the only thing parents need to do, and I'm not sure why they're not doing it, because it's your children's future. You get it. A lot of people do, but the majority people don't. When you said you go to a school board meeting and there's very few people there, that's disgusting. I mean, what does it take? You know, I always thought that it was either your children or your pocketbook that was going to rising and an outrage in this country. Well, now we're hitting your children. You know, now they're coming after your kids, and everybody's like, oh, we got to get to soccer practice tonight. Well, you know what? In a couple of years, you're not going to be able to have soccer practice if we don't take hold of this.
Absolutely,
and I agree.
I don't think it's our generation that's going to see it so much. I think it's our kids and their kids is really going to see the effect of what Islam is doing. And, you know, at some point, I have to think that we have them worried. Or we have them concerned. When I say them, I mean the government. Because why would the government step into a board meeting or a school board meeting? I think it was in Florida, and cancel it if they weren't scared and if they didn't know that there was people like my wife and I and you and Michael Dozier and other people out there like that that were onto them. There's just not enough of us. I don't think right now, and I hope more people wake up and before it's too late.
I agree with you, Michael, and, you know, I certainly, you know, I love the fact that you as a parent and your wife and even your kids are really taking this seriously. You're getting involved. I think it's wonderful that Jessica wants to do, you know, the project that she's going to do, because I think if it's not coming from a parent, if it's coming from a peer or a student, you know, they've got to take it seriously, you know. They're so used to parents complaining, and they're so used to, you know, other people. But when it actually comes from their student or from a peer, that's got to speak volumes. I would hope that it speaks volumes, but I'm not so sure. Now, Sumner County just doesn't seem to be able to get it right, though. I mean, the ACLU sued them a couple of years ago, right, about the cross.
They sued them because I think it was an elementary school took a group of children to a Baptist church, and it's kind of the same scenario as when this high school Jessica's class went to the mosque. You know, at the Baptist church, they were fed just like they were at the mosque, and they participated in prayer just like they did at the Hindu temple, and they were offered Bibles just like they did at the mosque. So it's the same scenario. You just, as long as it's not involved in Christianity, you don't hear the ACLU say a word. As a matter of fact, I called the ACLU, I emailed them twice, and not a word. But I can guarantee you that if they went to a Catholic church or Church of Christ or any, you know, Christian entity or venue, they would have been up Dale Phillips' rear end complaining, and, you know, somebody would have lost their job. But as long as they're promoting
Islam. Do you remember?
I can't remember her name. It's the lady's name that pops up when you go to their website.
Hedy Weinberg. Was it Hedy Weinberg? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's why. Hedy Weinberg is extremely involved with the majority of the Muslim community here in the Nashville area. So that does not surprise me at all.
And, you know, I told Dr. Phillips in an email discussion with him, I told him, I said, you know, you guys don't get to pick and choose how you're going to enforce this law. You don't get to pick and choose where you're going to enforce it and when you're going to enforce it. It's the law. It doesn't say you can't go to a Christian venue. It says religious venues, period.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get to choose how and when you're going to enforce this law.
Right. That's the crazy part. You know, it's the picking and choosing of who we're going to, you know, go after and not go after, I guess. So but Mike, I appreciate it. I hope that you'll, you know, keep me informed, you know, as what's going on. I'd love to know how the project is going. And if any more incidents come up, from what I understand, there are no more field trips. Is that correct?
There are no more field trips.
Okay,
you know, they're not going to be going to any more religious venues. And let's put it like this. They say they're not going to. So we'll see. My daughter she's a freshman, so she's got 3 more years, and I have a stepson that's going to be there in 2 years. So I will, I'm going to be involved whether they want it or not.
Good.
My wife and I are going to be involved, and they know this. So I will definitely keep you abreast of what's going on.
All right, Mike. Well, thank you for coming on and letting everyone know, you know, your story. And I will be in touch, and enjoy your evening. And thanks again for coming on.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Coming up next hour, we're going to talk a little bit more about the specifics of this particular mosque, the Islamic Center of Nashville. And we will be back after this commercial break.
Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. I start laundry at 8. At 10, we go for a walk. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the second hour of Daily Roll Call here on conservativenationmedia.com. Our number to call in is 718-305-7176. And we had been speaking to a father from Sumner County, Tennessee, whose daughter was exposed to 5 pages about Muhammad and 1 page on Jesus. So, you know, again, we've talked about this the last few weeks, how skewed the textbooks are, how skewed the assignments are, and it is up to the parents, ultimately, to do something. And why it's not happening, I don't know. I don't get. The Islamists are here, the Muslim Brotherhood is here, and now they're taking control of your children's education, and yet no one seems to really care. You know, like I said to Mike, it's, you know, your children and your pocketbook usually mean everything to you. and your pocketbook is being hit certainly with Obamacare, but your children are being affected through various means, Common Core. And something that I did want to mention before I go a little bit further here is there is a great resource out there. It's called the Textbook Tattler. And it was created by a couple of ladies from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, who we call the Textbook Warriors. And they have done a fantastic job on, it's like a pamphlet, a color pamphlet that shows you and tells you which textbooks have which problems. And they actually tell you what it says and what it really means and what the truth is. And these have been, you know, done by experts. So the Textbook Tattler is available. Anyone is interested in a copy of it, you can email me through dailyrollcall.com. That's dailyrollcall.com. That is the website. And if you're interested, but it is a fantastic resource. And I would suggest that people look at this resource. You know, the homework's being done for you. It doesn't take a lot of work because parents like Mike and his family, you know, they're doing the work for you. So there's no reason, you know, to just continue to sit back. So, you know, the resources are there. And if you have a particular question, you know, email me. And if we can't get you the answer, we'll find it for you. We'll go to whatever resource we have to get you an answer. But you need to start paying attention. You know, when he said that, you know, 5 to 10 people at a school board meeting, are you kidding me? This is disgusting. I mean, this is your child's education. And, you know, you can talk about Islam as being one of the top 5 religions. Well, you know what? Get over that. Because the political part of Islam is taking over. The religious part of it, to them, is in the back seat. Everything else is in the front seat. It's disgusting. And your kids are the ones being affected. So back on track here, a lot of people have said to me and have emailed me that they don't have an issue with their kids going to a place of worship. Yeah, I know. I don't either, okay? To a point, I don't. You know, I think kids need to be aware of other religions and other cultures and, you know, all this other stuff that we were all brought up with. But there's a problem. There's a big problem. And this is specifically now for those folks that live in the Nashville area. The Islamic Center of Nashville is one of the most radical mosques in this country, in this state for sure. But nobody knows about it. Nobody pays attention. So I'm wondering, does Ms. Elmore of, you know, the Sumner County School District, do these folks know what is happening within this mosque? And I think that every parent, especially in Middle Tennessee or Tennessee in general, but I think every parent needs to watch a movie. It's called Losing Our Sons. It is a true story. It's not really a movie. It's a documentary, and it's a true story of the murder of a U.S. Army soldier, Andy Long, who was from Arkansas. He died at the hands of Carlos Bledsoe, who was a student here at the University of Tennessee at Nashville, who was radicalized in the Islamic Center of Nashville. He killed Andy Long by yelling Allah Akbar and shooting him, and had no problem with saying that he attended the Islamic Center of Nashville, and this is where he learned these things. And prior to this happening, he was in Yemen. They had sent him over to Yemen to learn how to be a radical. And then he came back here, and he killed a soldier. And I've actually gotten to meet the parents of both Andy Long and Carlos Bledsoe. And I'm hoping sometime in January to actually have them on. They've met. They speak together. They are fantastic. They've come together instead of, you know, fighting and breaking each other apart and down. They have come together, and they speak out about what has happened to both of their sons, because both of them have a great loss. But, you know, when you hear about Carlos Bledsoe, who attended the ICN, who actually took the name of the imam that radicalized him, Abdul Hakim Muhammad, who spewed hate like you cannot imagine. I mean, the guy is just on the front, on the face of it, very, very peaceful, you know, no problems. But when you hear him at their khutbahs, at the prayers or the jummas on Fridays, quite a different story. So I want you to listen to this one-second clip. And here's what the imam from the Nashville, the Islamic Center of Nashville, had to say.
This country will not be the richest country on earth because it is the worst country on earth.
Bingo. Okay, and this isn't something that is, you know, taken, something that he was preaching while at the mosque. That is Abdul Hakim Muhammad, who Carlos Bledsoe took the same name. That's how much he thought of his imam that he went and killed for that. So he was there for years. So you're talking a span of 10 years. He was there till I think 2004, 2005, right in through there somewhere. And then he obviously left. Whenever there is controversy, they tend to leave. But this is the point, is that does this sort of rhetoric, is this what you want to hear? Is this the kind of imam whose ideology is in line with yours? And you don't know what they are telling the kids. Yeah, there's chaperones there, but most times people are so worried about offending someone, so worried about saying the wrong thing, that they're not paying attention to what's actually being said. So on that note, America is still the freest country on earth. And those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for those liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalsky, is leading the charge. So join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalsky, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. So, you know, talk about America always winning. Well, right now we're not winning. We've got these mosques, and then we have field trips to these mosques. And I don't know what more you need to hear. You know, if you watch the movie Losing Our Sons, you can't argue with videos. There's no way that you can just say that something in black and white and from their own mouth is, you know, oh, it's been cut and pasted. You know, that's what we hear a lot about. Anytime we prove something, it's always, oh, well, that's, you know, that's cut and pasted, or that's edited, or that's whatever. You know, at some point, you just have to realize these things are happening, and they're happening to your children. And if they're not going on field trips to mosques, then maybe like in the magnet school, the Martin Luther King Magnet School in Nashville, they're coming to them. Because now they have a Muslim student association in a high school. We've talked about the Muslim Student Association, the number two friend of the Muslim Brotherhood. So you don't have to necessarily go to them. They're going to come to you. So now let's move a little bit closer to the date when Mike's daughter went to, you know, the field trip when their class went to the mosque. The imam that was currently there, Mohammed Ahmed, from Egypt, very, very holy man. As a matter of fact, he's in training now to become a chaplain, a Muslim chaplain in the prison system. Oh, that's just wonderful, because this guy is nuts. This guy is dangerous. And yet, let's send our kids to the mosque because it's a great day out. Now, the clip that I have of him, it's only a seven, about a 7 second, it's only 7 second clip of him. He speaks kind of broken English, but again, if you want the clip, you can email me at dailyrollcall.com. So before I get into that clip, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back, and we'll let you hear what he has to say.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sandy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
All right, you're listening to Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. The number to call in, 718-305-7176. I know, everybody can't get off the couch. That's why nobody's calling tonight, because you can't get off the couch from all that food you ate yesterday. That's okay. We're getting through this show together anyway. So we're talking about the Islamic Center of Nashville and the wacko, disgusting Muslim Brotherhood ideology cracker that was until very recently at the Islamic Center of Nashville. So for those of you parents that have had your children go to the mosque recently, this is what Mr. Ahmed had to say about being a virgin to your young daughters. Now, this conversation didn't take place at the mosque. This was at a Religious Communicator Council conference in which he made these comments. And basically, just laying the groundwork for you, he was talking about the protests that were happening when the Arab Spring was happening. The protests, the female protesters, were taken by the Egyptian police, and virginity tests were performed on them. And, you know, apparently a lot of them came back negative. They weren't virgins. And so this is what the imam from the Islamic Center of Nashville had to say about that.
It's a very interesting fact that the police giving you a heads up, oh, those people are not virgins. That means they are not good people. And this is the average Egyptian man will look at it. If you are not married, you are not virgin, that probably will cause the cultural honor killing. We have an honor killing in Egypt, we have an honor killing in Pakistan, we have an honor killing in everywhere. Even in the States, we used to have an honor killing.
I know that's a little hard to understand, but basically what he was saying, and again, if you want the actual full length, I think it's like 47 minutes or something, if you want that video, if you're a parent from the area and you want that video, email me through dailyrollcall.com, and I will send you that. But basically what he's saying is those people are not virgins. They are not people. And that's what he says, that's the way the Egyptian men look at them, as if you are non-virgin before you're married, you're not good people. And then he goes on to say, that is the cause of cultural honor killings. Well, in their culture, it is their religion is the same thing. Okay, so this is what your daughters were exposed to. This nut who's looking at your daughter and thinking, oh, if she's not a virgin, she's not a good person, we should kill her. Now listen, you know what? I understand. You know, the beliefs that we all want our daughters to be the best they can be, and hopefully, you know, that before marriage they haven't been intimate with anyone, but we don't kill them. That's not normal. You know, we don't kill our daughters because they had sex before marriage. That's just not something we do, unless you're a Muslim and it came from a Muslim's mouth. Unfortunately, that Muslim is the imam, or was the imam until very recently, at the Islamic Center of Nashville, where your children are going on field trips. Is that normal? Is that good? So he might not have said that to them, but this is the ideology that this guy comes from. And I would love for Ms. Elmore, or for any teacher from anywhere, to tell me that this is the kind of person that our children should be exposed to. And then they'll say, well, you know, he didn't say that to our children, and he has a right to his opinion. No, virgin, is that sick or what? So no, you know what? These trips to the mosques, people, should be over with, and then they should be investigated. And if anybody knew any of this, they should be in trouble. I mean, give me a break. This guy is a whack job. So now he's traveling around getting his education, probably on our dime, so he can go into the prison systems and maybe convince the COs in the prisons that the non-virgins need to die. Oh, and by the way, the homosexuals need to die. Now, whatever your belief is, we don't throw homos off a cliff, people. It's just not what we do. It's barbaric, plain and simple. And that's what your kids have been exposed to over the last 10 years that the Sumner County schools in Tennessee have been going to the mosque, and the Metro Nashville schools, same thing. And God only knows what other schools. So let's keep bringing these people in front of our kids. You know, let's keep exposing our children. Because, you know, if you went to another church and found out that the pastor or the priest or the leader was a pedophile, why, it would be all over the national world news. The BBC would have picked it up by now. But you got some nut talking about killing non-virgins. And, oh, don't want to offend the Muslims. Can't do that. Mm-mm. So I would urge every single parent to look at Losing Our Sons. It is a film that is available online. If you can't find it, email me. I will get you the link to where it is. It's probably like $10, if that. I don't know where else it's available. I don't think it's available for libraries because it's a true story and we don't want to do that. But everybody needs to see this movie, even if you don't live in Nashville. And the reason I'm saying for those folks in Nashville is because it's in their backyard. It is not a good place for field trips. And I think what needs to happen at this point is if you know, the field trips weren't a good idea, then I really think that if you can't have a fair and balanced approach to the religions, then just say no religion. You know what? If you can't have the right amount of, you know, anti-whatever within the schools, then you don't need to have anything. If you can't teach about Christianity and every other religion proportionately to Islam, then get rid of them all. If you can't have it all, then forget it. You know, if you wanted your child to grow up in an environment strictly according to your religion, and that meant the food that was served and, you know, the modesty for the women and everything else that goes along with it, wouldn't you send them to that kind of school? I mean, I went to an all-girl Catholic school because my parents wanted me exposed to Christianity. Well, it was all girls, so they were a bunch of nuts too, but, you know, that's what I went through. So if you want your kids to be exposed to Sharia and the environment of pure Islam, then go to a masjid that has a class or has a school. You know, they do have them. We do have a lot of them here. But you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it. Because the overtaking of the curriculum is disgusting. You know, we talked about it again, the textbook in Florida last week. The school board decided to keep it. But there again, you got four paragraphs about Christianity, 38 pages on Islam. Oh, that's fair. No, that's just stupid. That is political correctness that is going to bite you in the back end very, very quickly. So if you can't have 38 pages of Christianity like you got 38 pages of Islam, then nothing. Forget it. Let your kids learn religion somewhere else, not a public school. What would the Muslims do? What would they do if the school board had the nerve, and that almost wasn't the word I was going to say, but if a school board had the nerve to say, you know what, we don't want anything Islamic in our schools. We don't want anything to do with any of it. What would they do? Because then they're going to lose that hold that they have. And they do have a hold. And it's called Common Core. And we're going to be talking about Common Core in depth. Of course, if anybody can find an Islamic connection to anything, is me. And then we'll talk about that. So there's a lot going on in your schools. And you really need to pay attention. And I really can't understand why you're not. Now, we've talked about the Muslim Brotherhood Manifesto or the Strategic Goal for North America. Well, when you look up what they say on page 10 out of 18, number 17, understanding the role and the nature of work of the Islamic Center in every city with what achieves the goal of the process of the settlement. Now, I know that they kind of write weird about this stuff, you know, the way they write things, but they go on to say, the center we seek is one which constitutes the axis of our movement, the perimeter of our circle of work, our balance center, the base for our rise in our Dar al-Arqam to educate us, prepare us, and supply our battalions in addition to being the niche of our prayers. Now, battalions, and by the way, Dar al-Arqam means house of the prophet. So there is a house of war and there is a house of Islam as well. Right now, they are considered, because they are not the majority, the house of war. So they're telling you, they use the word battalions. Now, I'm sorry, but that's a military word. The base for our rise. The base. Gee, that's also a military word. So are mosques really what they say they are? Are community centers, Islamic community centers, really what they say they are? We're going to look a little bit more in depth about this, and we might even get to talk about have a actual roll call briefing later up in the next hour. But we're going to take a break at the top of the hour here, and we'll be back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 88 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 1,000% increase in the last 40 years. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Daily Roll Call on ConservativeNationMedia.com. I am your host, Kathy Hinners, and the number to call in is 718-305-7176. We got a really active chat room going on, which I'm glad to see. Everybody talking about a little bit of everything, Common Core and what's happening in the schools. Another piece of just another read here from the Muslim Brotherhood Manifesto, or the Strategic Goal for North America, whatever you want to call it, in regards to education and in regards to mosques or community centers. They say, in brief, we would like for the Islamic Center to become the house of Dawah. Now remember, Dawah means the proselytizing of Islam. And the General Center, indeed first before name. As much as we own and direct these centers at the continent level, we can say we are marching successfully towards the settlement of Dawah in his country, in this country. This mandates that eventually the region, the branch, and the URSA turns into the operations rooms for planning, direction, monitoring, and leadership for the Islamic Center in order to be a role model to be followed. All right. Now, if you're lost there, if you just kind of look at it real quick, take away the weird writing. They're talking about a mosque being an operation room, which it was back, and I don't mean surgery. It's a military operation. And if you recall earlier when we've done these, when we've gone over some of the stages and some of the manifesto, if you haven't seen the trend that is forming, is that every single aspect of our society right now is being changed. And it's coming from up from within, like they have said and like they say, right in their own writing. This is their playbook. We've made this crap up. Well, no, we didn't make it up. It was found during a raid. It has evidentiary value. it was a piece of evidence in a federal trial. And, you know, that alone, you have to give it some credence. But they don't dispute it. They don't talk about it. I just want to throw something out there, too. I just had a thought, and I just want to throw this out. You know, this whole Obamacare thing, and this is totally off the subject. I promise you we'll get back to the school thing in a second. But the whole Obamacare thing, have you ever heard or seen anywhere a Muslim talking about they've lost their benefits? Just curious. Because from what I understand, they've been given an exemption because it's basically, if you want to call it, some portions of it are a tax. Well, they're not allowed, you know, to be involved in that. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. I just thought I've never seen CARE certainly hasn't addressed it. The Council on American Islamic Relations, they haven't addressed Obamacare at all, so they don't care. So obviously it's not affecting the Muslim community here. But, you know, I'd love to know. It just amazes me that they would have been given a pass, and I think they have. So if you know something differently and you can prove it to me, just don't call up and say, no, I've lost my – I'm a Muslim and I've lost my health insurance. Well, prove it to me. Show me that you've lost your health insurance. Because I haven't heard on any news channel anything of that sort. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But prove me. All right, so back to the school and, you know, talking about mosques and things like that. And again, you know, what we talked about with Mike, the fact that the ACLU couldn't wait to sue Sumner County. Oh, man, you got crosses in your classrooms. Your people are done. Well, you know, what about the five pillars being put up, the posters of the five pillars being put up in the classrooms? And it wasn't just here in Tennessee that it happened. I believe it was Kansas, Missouri. There were a few other states that had the same problem. The same teacher had the same thought somewhere else in the country. So, you know, what about that? And where is the ACLU when we're talking about these trips to religious institutions? I think the biggest joke was the one that happened in Wellesley, Massachusetts, a couple of years ago, where the boys actually were taking prayer while the girls had to wait in the back of the room, and the boys were taken with the men and had to pray. And all you can hear is the parents whispering, oh, my God, what are they doing? Oh, my God, nothing. If I was on that field trip and that was my kid, or even if it wasn't my kid, those kids were under my charge, oh, my God, it would have been a mad woman going to the front of that mosque. Hijabs and burqas would have been flying, people, because I would have been grabbing those boys, saying, no, you are not getting down on the floor and praying with this group of men. That's just not going to happen. But instead, everyone was afraid to offend, so they just whispered, oh, my God, they're praying. Well, no kidding, they're praying, and you're letting them pray. You know, so the parents, you don't think twice about yelling about stupid stuff. So now that the stuff really matters, you better start speaking out. You know, everything from the menu in your school being changed, you know, because, well, the little Muslims can't figure out what not to eat and what to eat, so they have to remove the pork products just to make sure. You know that it's not that they can't touch pork or be around pork. That's not true. They can't eat pork, or they shouldn't eat pork, but, you know, they're not going to hog hell if they do. You know, I mean, lighten up, people. It's just like the Jewish people. But you know what? You don't see the Jewish people going crazy because there's pepperoni in the cafeteria. Their kids know enough not to eat it. But, oh, my God, if they touch it, their hand's not going to fall off, or Muhammad's not going to come and chew it off. So, you know, put these things in perspective. You start talking about this stuff, and I know in a few of my classes, one of the first things we do is we start talking about the religion itself, and I break it down to them, as what they say it is. It's a religion. So we talk about the fact that they say it's a religion. And it's so contradictory that some of these guys will come up to me on a break and say, I don't know, are you nuts or are they nuts? You know, they've got two different faces. But yes, they do. Yeah, they do. It's a very, very double standard type religion, if that's what you want to call it, which I don't. I will not call it that anymore. It is a political way of life. And they say that in their own textbooks. So if they can say it, I can say it. Well, I'm not supposed to probably, but you know what? I do. It's not a religion. Just because it has a holy book doesn't make it a religion. And just because they go and they pray somewhere doesn't make it a holy religion. It's their political way of life. So this is what kills me as far as, you know, what their beliefs are. And they've got everybody just completely hornswoggled or taken back or whatever you want to call it. You know, it's time to really wake up and to see what's happening to your kids in school. Now, kids are kids. You know, kids don't hold grudges. Kids are kids. They want to play with other kids. But it's the ideology that when they hit a certain age, they're supposed to be telling your child that they need to come over to Islam because Islam is the only religion. It is superior to other religions. That's what they're supposed to tell your kid. And that's where it gets bizarre. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, only on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And like I said before, right now we're not winning. We need to win. And it starts with your kids. It starts in the schools. And you know what? If your school board, let's say the Volusia County School Board in Florida just did. So you poor Floridians, you need to get some backbone into these people. You know, they were intimidated because 500 kids signed a petition and said, we want to learn about Islam. Well, then, you know what? Go to college for it. Because on my dime, kid, you're not taking a class on Islam. And you're not going to learn about Islam as the way of life that they portray it to be. So you want to learn about it, then go to college for it. But it's not going to happen while you're still in my house and you're still very moldable. So they kept the textbook, which has the 38 pages of Islam and 4 paragraphs on Christianity. Once again, you know, no common sense there whatsoever. All right, we have a caller on the line, so we're going to see if they want to spew anything on me since I'm spewing on you. Hi, you're on Daily Roll Call. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine, Kathy. It's Mike again. I'm still listening to your show.
Oh, man. Thanks for getting me going, Mike.
Hey, I just had a comment, and I'll hang up and listen to what your thoughts
okay.
are. You were mentioning a minute ago about the Jewish children and they're not complaining about pepperoni being in the, on, you know, on the menu or in the cafeteria. Here's the difference. Other people of different religions are coming to this country for a better life.
Mm-hmm.
Muslim and Islam is coming to this country to take over. They take over every country, or they want to take over every country that they enter. That's their goal. So there's
mm-hmm.
the difference.
Very well put. Very well put, yes.
They don't go to any country that they don't want to take over. They want to come to our country and change our laws to fit their needs, to fit to their lifestyle and their beliefs. They don't want to come here and assimilate and fit in and say, okay, these are your laws. We know what your laws are when we come to your country, but we don't like them. And we want to
mm-hmm.
change your laws to fit what we believe. And that's the biggest difference. And that's what I think most people aren't grasping.
it's a tough thing to grasp. I mean, you know, a few years ago, I would have thought we were all a bunch of nuts too. But, you know, when you pay attention and you research, and like I've said before, most of that's been done. I mean, it's people like you, parents like you, and the Michael Del Giornos and the Huckabees, and you know, the list goes on and on and on, of people that are educating those that don't know. It's sort of like a reverse Dawa, if you will. You know, we need to proselytize about our religion and about our constitution. But as the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood stated, we are not a religion to be dominated. We are to dominate. And, you know, until people get that, and I don't know how they don't get it because Christians are being slaughtered all over the world, but hey, it's not happening here yet, so hey, you know, you can go to bed and not worry about it until it starts happening here. But I got to take a quick break. Mike, you going to hold on?
I'm going to hang up and let you continue. I was listening, I just wanted to call in and share that thought with you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and we're probably going to discuss that a little bit more after the break. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right, we will be back after this short break.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
When I grow up, I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
a
sunny porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I
want to
be a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a... goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome back to Conservative Nation Media. This is Daily Roll Call. I am your host, Kathy Henners. The number to call in is 718-305-7176. And we have been going on about a little bit of everything again. So you know what? You got a problem? Call me. 718-305-7176. Mike just got me going again. You know, and he is so right. And he got it, and it took probably that incident to push him. You know, last week we talked about where's your line in the sand, you know, what was your point of awakening. You know, I'll throw that out there again for those of you that are still awake, you know, that aren't still, like, stuck to the couch or whatever. But, you know, I think maybe that was Mike's line to have this happen to his family. And you know, it needs to start happening a little quicker because they're moving along fairly quickly. So I've been reading you some excerpts from the manifesto, And I just wanted to, you know, look at again the four stages of Islamic conquest. And without going into every single point under infiltration, it says mosques are used to spread Islam in dislike of host country and culture. Yeah, I'd have to say that's absolutely true. Threatened legal action for perceived discrimination. Now, when I'm kind of putting together for a post on dailyrollcall.com, which is my website, my blog, I'm working on a post that's going to hopefully show how they do perceive every single thing as discrimination. You know, when you get thrown out there, you're Islamophobe or racist. You know what? These words that they throw out are just ridiculous, number one, because Islam's not a race. You know, they're just not winning in that one. And Islamophobia, you know, I do not fear Islam at all. I don't think most people do fear Islam at all. I fear what's happening to my country, but I don't fear them. And when push comes to shove, I think most Americans will shove. But you better wake up so you can shove. Because if you don't wake up soon, you know, there's going to be like a burqa, Quran, waiting for your body to come up out of the sand when you do surface. So pay attention to this stuff, you know. I mean, it's like talking to a brick wall sometimes, you know. Actually, I am talking to a brick wall tonight, but because there's one right in front of me. So another thing is the offers of interfaith dialogue to indoctrinate non-Muslims. Well, we've seen that happening in this country. The interfaith forums are the new buzzword in the churches because I guess that's just the thing to do these days. But they're brilliant. I'll give them that. They've gotten their way into everything. The second stage is called the consolidation of power. And we've talked about this. We've talked about the UN resolution 1618, if you haven't looked that up, you need to look it up, the defamation of religion law, better known as the blasphemy law. And I also talked briefly last week about the Muslim Day parade that happens every year in New York City. Now, if you're ever in New York City around September, like the third week of September when it's taking place, I would urge you to go because it's, if you look at it the way they mean it to be, it's very scary. It's creepy. It's really ridiculous. And they have, I think it was last year, which we talked about last week, they did have a speaker get up and demand, absolutely demand, that the UN protect the religion of Islam. Yeah, it's like, it's never ending. You know, here we are in the middle of New York City. We said that on Madison Avenue. You got these guys demanding in our country that their religion be protected. Oh, it's not good enough that the First Amendment doesn't protect them because Lord knows they're not gaining ground anywhere. Lord knows nobody's kissing their hineys anywhere. So they really don't have protection. So I don't know what they're talking about. But the freedom of free speech and religion is certainly being turned against us. But the second stage, called the consolidation of power, where it says increased anti-Western propaganda and psychological warfare, efforts to introduce blasphemy and hate laws. Well, there you go. To introduce hate laws. The use of charities to recruit supporters and fund jihad. Oh, they don't tell you about the funding jihad part. No, that's just to support the charities, you know, which we talked about last week. The development of a Muslim political base in a non-Muslim host society. Well, the White House is overrun with Muslim Brotherhood, in case you don't know that. Let's see, Muhammad Ali Biari, Arif Ali Khan, Rashid Hussein, that's just three off the top of my head, Dali Mogahed. I just think there's a slew of names that are in the White House that you need to know about. So, you know, that's true right there. Over disregard, rejection of non-Muslim society's legal system. You got some nut from the Islamic Center in Nashville talking about killing kids, women that aren't virgins. So I would have to say that that's probably something in their legal system, in their judicial court system that they want to implement in this country, which they're doing, by the way. They are truthfully doing it. They're trying to get it into our court systems as a way of first divorce courts because, you know, they're special. They have to have a special way to divorce each other. And so they need a special court to do this in. So the American system of laws is not good enough. You know, every single thing that we believe in is so out the door when it comes to them because, oh, you know, they're here and they just, they need their laws. They got to have their laws, not the law of the land. But when you understand they are not allowed to abide by man-made law, it makes sense. But how do you live in a country and you don't abide by the laws? Can you imagine going over to one of their countries and doing what they're doing here? You would have been hung or thrown off a cliff or burned or stoned or imprisoned for the rest of your life. So then the argument comes, well, we were born here. This is my country too. I was born here. Yeah, you're right. If you were born here, this is your country. But your philosophy and your ideology is that of a communist or a socialist. And if you don't like it here, if it's that bad, then perhaps you need to find another country. So, yeah, okay, great. You were born here. So was I. So who wins? You know, who wins that argument? Because a lot of these Muslims, these young Muslims, were born here. And then there's the problem that they're being reverted, and they say reverted because that's they believe everyone was born a Muslim but commits blasphemy and goes off to another religion. So they believe at some point you'll come back to Islam. You know, so what about them? You know, they commit a crime, they go to prison, they've got these chaplains like Muhammad Ahmed, who now uses the name Muhammad al-Sharif, which, you know, I meant to ask Mike about that. You know, that's kind of interesting that the imam from the Islamic Center of Nashville changed his name ever so slightly now that he's not there anymore. So what's that about? Now, I understand their naming convention. You know, they twist and turn their names around faster than anything. But, you know, why? What's the need for that? You know, if there's something amiss, you know, what's going on with that? So, yeah, there's a couple of questions with that. So back to the stages of infiltration, efforts to undermine and destroy the power base of non-Muslim religions, including and especially Jews and Christians. Did you hear that Obama wants to close the consulate, the embassy at the Vatican? I'm just saying, that was just something that came into my head. Speaking of religion, it's just another way to throw things out at you there. Stage three, open war with leadership and culture. You've got, let's see, Mohamed Elibiari works in the White House. He just got a promotion, actually, in the Department of Homeland Security under Janet Napolitano, or was under Janet Napolitano. Rashid Hussein is with the OIC, who works with the UN on developing laws for this country. Arif Ali Khan originally was the deputy mayor, I believe it's the deputy mayor of Los Angeles, who stopped the programs for police officers going into mosques and getting information, intelligence. So there's three right off the bat that have put things in place or taken things away from the norm of this country. And they're doing it in New York City as well. All right, we're going to take a commercial break here. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Go to conservativenationmedia.com, click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always wins.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Hey, sweetie, what's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay, what?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to conservativenationmedia.com. This is Daily Roll Call with Kathy Hinners, your host. 718-305-7176. The phones have been so dead tonight as in comparison to last week. What happened? Everybody's like stuck to their recliners or something, you know, which I don't blame you. I'm stuck to my chair too. It's called overeating on Thanksgiving. And if you didn't overeat and you're not dying somewhere in a chair, then you're probably out shopping. So I understand all of that. I think it's time to just start the roll call briefing. We're just going to put a few things out there. And, you know, while this used to just be for law enforcement, like I said earlier, I think that everyone can use this information, because I think it's time that we start figuring out who these people are in our neighborhoods. You know, we talked two weeks ago, about what to look for when you go in some of these stores. And you know what? It's time to start calling, you know, these people, these religious people out. You know, I think one of the biggest farces is that a Muslim is not supposed to have anything to do with alcohol, the lottery, pornography, you know, any of those type products, and yet where do a lot of them work or own? Liquor stores, convenience stores, and guess what? All of the above are in those stores. So, you know, how does that work? Well, but when it comes down to getting money for the cause, they'll do whatever they have to do, and that's called Takaya, which is the art of deception, and that's what they do very well. So the next time you go into one of these stores, you know what? Ask them. Say, hey, you know, this is against your religion. What are you doing it for? See what they say. Let me know. Or don't do it. And then you'll never know. And then you'll never be able to tell me, and you'll never find out. So I'm going to do it. I have a liquor store not far from my house that is run by Middle Easterners. And I just want to know, how is this legal? You know, it says right there in the Quran that it's against your religion to consume alcohol or to be around alcohol. So what some of the things to look for, too, and we know that a lot of these little stores are selling still the spice products, which are illegal. And they don't care. They're still selling them. But, you know, when you walk in to pay for your cigarettes or your gas or whatever you're getting from the store, look for these products. They're packaged really, really attractively for, you know, to kids. One of the most well-known is probably Black Mamba. But there's several different varieties and there's several different names. So they come in little tins, little small round tins. They are illegal in most states. So if you see something like that, call law enforcement. Now, when you start going into these stores and you start looking at things, I'm not saying to call law enforcement every time, but it gives you an idea of these little red flags that I've been talking about. And, you know, you get enough of those little red flags, then it's time to document things, take pictures of things, and then eventually call law enforcement, you know, call a local agency and say, hey, you know, I've looked into this and I know that this is illegal. So one of the big things that a lot of people aren't aware of is a drug called KHAT, K-H-A-T. And it's very easy for these stores to have it on the premises because no one knows what it is. And it's usually prevalent in a Somali community or where there may be some folks from Yemen working, but it is a big drug from Africa. It is like a flowering shrub. They cut it, they harvest it pretty much in the deserts of Africa. And believe it or not, they get it here. It has to be at its highest point. It has to be shipped within 24 hours to maintain its potency. So you see a lot of DHL trucks, you know, your express, anything to do with express that can get something overnighted. So, you know, that could be if you got a neighbor who's getting DHL every other day and they're from Somalia or whatever, you know, are they doing something dirty? You know, chances are they're not, but they could be getting caught. KHAT is extremely dangerous. It is considered an illegal drug here in our country, but it is not, and they don't think it's illegal. They look at it as it is basically, how do they word it, that it's like caffeine. You know, they get a buzz from it, so it's like caffeine. You know how we have to have our caffeine in the morning, they have to have their KHAT, but there's a big difference. So basically, it has an effect kind of like cocaine or crystal meth, maybe not as intense. When it's fresh, you might see like, and they will keep this in the back of the store in one of the coolers, like where you get your beer or your milk or whatever, your soda. It's usually kept in the back. It can be packaged in banana leaves or newspapers. That's the two ways that it is kept fresh. So if you grab your little Coke Zero and there's stuff wrapped in banana leaves or newspaper, you might have, you know, something there. Kind of like a Big Leafs. They're glossy, kind of like a reddish brown. A lot of people have said that it reminds them of marijuana, but it doesn't. It has more of an odor of rotten, wet grass, whereas like marijuana smells kind of skunky sometimes. This does not. it deteriorates very quickly, so they have to use it and they chew it. So it's like, you know, when you see guys, what's it, tobacco, you know, in their gums there, they will use a large wad of cot more towards the cheek rather than along the gum line. So you walk in a store and the guy behind the counter has, like, it looks like a baseball in his mouth. He's probably chewing some cot. They can use it in tea. That's what, you know, when we're talking about this in law enforcement, we never take anything from anybody anyway. But, you know, they'll use it in tea and offer it to you, and they use it in cot, or I'm sorry, in brownies, like hash brownies. So they use it dry, but it's called graba when it's dry, and it looks like marijuana. It's kind of, but it's greener. It's a little bit greener. It's hard to explain. The problem is that it raises the blood pressure and the heartbeat, and it's a very dangerous drug, basically. So you certainly want to make sure you keep kids and things away from it. It can last anywhere from 3 hours, about 90 minutes to 3 hours, but can go in the system for 24 hours. So, you know, keep that in mind. And some of the names that kids call that we're learning is used on the street is African salad or Somali tea or got. Those are just some of the names that, you know, kids are throwing around out there. So, again, you need to pay attention to the plants or the things that are entering your house. Can be mild depression, anorexia, insomnia, a lot of things that, you know, kind of duplicate what other drugs are, you know, euphoria, hyperactivity, bulls, agitation, paranoia. And that's all hand-in-hand with cocaine, basically. But that's some things to look for. Now, before I get further into this, conservativenationmedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and the most informative guest to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. Really a great show. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And I will tell you that Dave has a great show as well. The lineup here on Conservative Nation Media is just about every show that I've listened to is very informative and is great. So tune in on Mondays as well. Another great show. So we are talking about cot, a drug that is kept in some of these little stores that you probably frequent quite often. It's sold in bundles, and kids were paying about $60 a bundle. But it is a drug here in this country. So, you know, if you have a store owner telling you that, no, it's not illegal, well, to them it may not be, but in this country it is. And it is not just illegal, it is Schedule 1, which is a felony, a very large felony. So you're better off knowing about these things. But graba is the dry form, which looks like marijuana, does not smell like marijuana, and is darker. But they will use that, they will smoke it, they will chew that as well. And then again, the actual form of cot is a long leaf that they will kind of like peel back and chew. So they get that euphoria from that. So just a little tidbit here about what to look for as far as drugs go. Not that kids today do anything, you know, like that, but it's a very dangerous drug because they don't know what's in it. Now, a couple weeks ago, we talked about garbology and, you know, what's in people's garbage. Once it hits the sidewalk, it becomes public property. But I don't expect anyone to go through anybody's garbage, but you have no idea what you're missing. I mean, garbage tells a story. It's incredible. You know, if you care about those things, which I know that everybody doesn't, but, you know, there's a lot of things that could be happening to you that you need to pay attention to as well. You know, your credit card applications, those pain in the butt things that come in the mail all the time, if you're prone to getting a lot of those, pay attention. Because what we have found, especially in a community that is surrounded by Somalians, they will send women into your neighborhood and go mailbox to mailbox just specifically looking for either credit cards or credit card applications. Utility bills in other people's names. You know, if you get mail and there's, you know, utility bills that aren't your address but have your name on them, you might want to look at that. It's probably not just an error. It could be someone else using your name at a different address. That is very prevalent in some of these communities. Something like the prepaid cell phone, years ago in Walmart, Walmart in Texas, and a clerk caught this. A Middle Eastern man had come in and had pretty much bought every single prepaid cell phone for. And the clerk got curious as to why this person wanted so many prepaid cell phones. And he was sending them overseas. He said that he was sending them overseas, which is all well and good. You know, they could probably use the cell phones there. But the problem with that is the number one way to detonate a IED against our troops is still a cell phone. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and finish up with our roll call briefing.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's a combination of those two. The first book I remember was Captain's Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. So here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
conservativenationmedia.com. I am your host, Kathy Henners, and I think we've got Robert on the phone here. Hey, Robert, is that you?
Yeah, that is me.
Hi, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. It's been a busy one. I haven't even got my show halfway done yet. I'm still working on that.
It's only tomorrow.
Yeah,
what do you got planned for your show tomorrow?
Well, I actually do. I heard Duke saying something the other day about how he liked the Moody Blues, so I downloaded a whole bunch of new bumper music, and I'm using the Moody Blues on my show tomorrow.
Excellent.
And I've got a bunch of statistics that I quoted last week about the way the Republicans vote and the Democrats vote, and I'm going to reiterate that and then bring up some other things that I've come up with, and so that'll be a good show.
Yes, excellent. Very good. Well, if you want to just put out there the time and the name of the show for tomorrow.
Well, it's same as it always is, New Wise Conservatism Radio, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, I think, the way it is. It's the other way around, maybe. I don't know. it'll be 4 p.m. 4 p.m. Eastern, and the older I get, the less I know, I think.
Oh, please, don't even go there. Oh, my goodness. Age is creeping up on all of us. Oh, my gosh. But, well, good.
Yeah, and the
I'm
older
sure,
you get, the faster it creeps.
Oh, don't tell me that. Geez, thanks, Robert. Well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. I'm gonna get wrapping things up here. It's been a long hour. Last week, the phones were nonstop. This week, I think everybody's glued to their couches, and I don't blame everybody. You know, everybody's pretty stuffed. So,
well, you know, what they did was they plugged in their phones so that they would have them charged up for the show so they could call in, and then they ate themselves into oblivion, then they sat down on the couch, and that was the end of it. They couldn't get up anymore.
There you go. Thank you for that, because that's true, I'm sure. Excellent. Well, Robert, good talking to you, and thank you for calling in, and I hope that you have a good Saturday.
And you too.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night. All right. And we're going to continue on with just a basically a wrap-up of what we've been talking about here. The last thing, you know, that's kind of a dumb moment, when you walk into one of these stores, again, I reiterate the smells. The smell factor is very, very big. If you walk into one of these stores and they're not the cleanest of stores and they don't look like they've ever been cleaned, yet there's a smell of Clorox, that should be something to look at. If you walk into a store and there's any type of chemicals from a beauty supply store anywhere in the store and they're not selling beauty supplies, that should be a red flag. Wire, batteries, excess wire, excess batteries and things like that, those are things that you need to be mindful of. Now, I don't expect anyone to understand that. I'm not going to tell you the story of, you know, bomb making, but those are some of the items that you would look for. You know, if you walk in somewhere and somebody's making a sketch of a particular venue or, you know, which should be a secure area if someone's taking pictures of such a thing. Now, I did have a few men taking pictures of railroad tracks before I retired. And, you know, a lot of people like to watch for trains to come through. And there was a fairly large port where I worked, so that was not uncommon. But pictures of tracks are not the same as pictures of trains. So, you know, all of a sudden they didn't speak English, and so that was not a good thing. So anything that's out of the ordinary. When you walk into a store, if there's a group of men and all of a sudden the language changes, you know, that it doesn't mean necessarily criminal activity. But again, it's just something to be mindful of. And I truly believe now that, you know, there's a lot of things that I still would only give law enforcement. Still a lot of information that is sensitive to law enforcement. But in general, I think that the public needs to start to be aware of how a lot of these things are happening in these stores. We talked a few weeks ago about some of the scams and the frauds that are being perpetrated in these stores. And everybody has a right to know what's happening, and you need to be aware that there may be some sort of small cell operating in your corner grocery store or in your gas station or tobacco store. And again, you know, your tobacco shops are one of the biggest offenders of these crimes. So you have to pay attention. And, you know, if you're not law enforcement and you know somebody in law enforcement, you know, talk to them about what you've heard and give them some of these pointers and try to make them understand that, you know, they're here and they're here in great number. And this is why, you know, this was this show was probably a blessing in disguise, because it's just another tool for us to be able to get our message out. And, you know, like I said to Mike earlier, it's kind of like reverse Dawa. You know, they believe that they have to proselytize about their religion to everyone that they run into. Well, I think it's time that we proselytize about our Constitution and our religion and expose. I think that's the only way that we can win this battle, is to continue to expose and discredit and disarm and get the money away from them, take the money sources away from them. That's the only way that we're going to be able to defeat this. Because right now, when you have an administration that has the same ideology and is proving it on a daily basis, and the people that are in the White House and are in this administration that are Muslim Brotherhood, you know, those are some serious things. So we need to start taking back what we have. And if you don't do it soon, it is going to be too late. And I started to tell you earlier, the post that I'm going to be doing is every action and reaction in 1 week that CARE takes. The CARE is the Council on American Islamic Relations, and they are the largest grassroots Islamic organization in this country. And they're supposed to be here to protect the rights of Muslims. However, not only are they protecting the rights of Muslims, they are taking the rights away of everyone else. So it's an organization that needs to be exposed on a daily basis, and that's what we're going to do. So this looks like it's going to be the end of our show for this week. Some information was gleaned from it. I hope that there was just a small tidbit of any information that was gotten from this show. Maybe next week we'll get back into the mode of having some callers. It's going to be tough as we start approaching the holiday season, but we'll get through that together. And we got some more lessons to put out there. We have some more guests coming up. I think that you need to learn about Sharia-compliant products in your banks. A lot of the large banks do offer Sharia-compliant products. Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citicorp, HSBC. These are all banks that have opened the door for the Saudi money to come in, and with Saudi money comes Sharia law. So we're going to be talking about that as well. So our time is up. I hope that you have a great week. I hope you recover from the turkey poisoning that we all have, and have a great week, and we will see you back here next Friday on Daily Roll Call here on conservativenationmedia.com. God bless.